next item is the Archives Committee. Who's presenting the Archives Committee report?
Brian. Okay. And Brian, is it okay if I take a point of personal privilege that I want to take for a moment, and it'll take about 30 seconds? Sorry, Brian. I just want to say that I spoke to Jack Van Aken again, and I did misrepresent his position. I want to make that clear. He definitely supported transparency, but in our conversation where I was whispering to him, I simply got confused. He would not have supported David's motion. And I do think it's important to put that in for the record.
Thank you. So is it Brian or Teresa that's going to present now? Brian, where'd you go? Oh, there you go.
Right here.
Right here. So the Archives Committee has been meeting for, I guess, since the last board meeting, at least twice. And although there is no written report from the committee chair, I do want to be positive about what the Archives Committee is doing. And it was originally set up so that I could better inform the members of this body, the board, and the LSB about archives ethics. What is different about what we do in the archive than what you do at the station? It is incredibly different what we intend to do and what our mission is from the station. So as I continued, this is my 24th consecutive national board meeting. Have not missed one, so I know a little bit about what's going on. But I also, as we sort of built, you know, in those first 10 meetings, I really realized that in the 10 minutes that I was allotted to present about the archives, I could not possibly inform this board about what our needs were, what our accomplishments were, and what the Pacifica Foundation is obligated to do. So creating the Archives Committee was to have longer conversations with board members, and that's what we've been able to do, and we are accomplishing that. And I believe the board members, Don White, Teresa, Ambrose, A.C. Byrd, can't point the rest of you because you're not here. You know, we have been able to have longer discussions about the ethics of archiving and the funding of the archiving, programming and distribution, and I'm really positive and thrilled that we're getting there. And also the other positive thing that I've been surprised at is not only as they've been getting information about what we do, they've also been creating working groups, which wasn't really the original intent, but I'm happy about. They formed an educational task force. Jane Jackson, are you here?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. She's right behind me. She's on the committee as well. We formed an
hell of a fine place to be. Everybody ought to go and speak for themselves.
I don't know what she said.
She can't describe it, but she will when public comment comes, I bet. Thanks, Jane. So the working groups has been an educational and library task force and a building campaign task force. The building campaign task force has not met. Sarv, I believe that you're the chair of that. But the educational task force has met and actually has accomplished
I am
a goal
educational.
I'm sorry?
Not the building one. I'm for the educational committee that did meet.
Oh, okay. So you're the educational committee. The other one didn't meet. So the educational committee has met and has followed up on what the archives did in creating the groundwork of visiting universities and donating CD copies of significant recordings so that academia can respond to us about the significance of that recording. So Donna Platt was invited to the educational task force meeting, and we sort of have designed the initial steps of looking at how to create curriculum for schools based on the archives materials. That means going to what are the requirements, what is the state curriculum, going to charter schools and creating a pilot project so that teachers can use it. So we're sort of starting that, and it's really an exciting venture. That, you know, has no funding, has no place in our budget, but it's something that is clearly important not only to Pacifica and the archives, but I think and I believe strongly that it's important to the culture and what we understand about ourselves. So I'm really excited about the work that the Archives Committee is doing. Teresa, do you want to say anything?
First of all, let me just, I think this is actually not, this report's not going to last 20 minutes, but let me tell you one thing. Last October, I went to visit an affiliate in College Station, a very College Station, Texas, very conservative area. Before the war, a group of people decided to try to meet and request that we not go to have a peace vigil, a candlelight vigil about not going to war. So they approached Texas A&M and said, "Do you mind if we get together and have a candlelight vigil?" They said no. Then they went, this group, again, appealed to a local minister, and they went back to Texas A&M. And they said, when the minister was there, they said, okay, well, yeah, there is a free speech zone. You can go. While they were having their candlelight vigil, a group of people called the Ross's Volunteers, kind of a ROTC-y kind of group, took their wooden rifles and marched around them and kind of intimidatingly had this presence where they were marching in place while these people were having the candlelight vigil. This is the kind of atmosphere or community where you have a community radio station like KEOS with a total budget of $55,000, total budget, and all volunteer staff, but a lovely station, so marvelously taken care of, that they just, you can tell there's a lot of TLC goes into this station. So it's a real beacon of hope in this area. So I have three requests for you. And I'll tell you, when I went to visit them, one thing I suggested, I said, you know, pledge drives is very important for a station like this. So I said, you have a great Beatles music show. We have a wonderful premium at the archives. This could make you a lot of money. It's made a lot of money in other places. It would fit so well into this program. And perhaps Brian DeShazer could help you pitch because he has the background behind this piece of archive material. So, you know, this is something that we can provide for our stations, and then we make money off of it, and we get name recognition. So they might not have a lot of money to give to us because their budget's small, but they can tell all kinds of people how special Pacifica is. And so we have more hits on our website. I'm going to recommend to you, everyone here, that you go to the Pacifica website, which is
PacificaRadioArchives.org.
PacificaRadioArchives.org, and also go to PacificaNetwork.org and see what our affiliates are like. I ask you to keep an eye on the budget, make sure that this body gives enough money to our archives and enough money to affiliates. I also recommend that you, if you have ideas for the archives, for example, I don't know if any of you here were at Dr. Lessig's presentation yesterday, perhaps there's a way that we could have more interaction with our archives and with our affiliates. Maybe we could do, we have the program now Out of the Vault.
From the Vault?
From the Vault. Perhaps you have an idea of something that our sister stations would be a great program to hear on a weekly basis. We've had several. Well, how many have we had so far?
From the Vault is now in its eighth episode. It's a weekly program that's distributed nationally. It's being taken and broadcast on at least four affiliate stations as well as four Pacifica stations.
And we've had Quentin Crisp.
We've done Bertolt Brecht, Quentin Crisp. This week it's about the American soldier. We've gone back and found, you know, John Kerry testimony, Vietnam War poetry from soldiers. So we're looking at the, you know, various things. We do try to be as diverse as possible with our subject matter.
So,
but we also want to invite producers from the Pacific stations to you know, come and play with us. We do ask for academic and scholarly assistance. You know, when we look at a subject in terms of Bertolt Brecht, even though I'm a fan of Brecht, I don't know much about him in terms of the academia.
And
so we actually went to the person who translated Brecht from German into English.
So if you have ideas of what you would like to hear from the Vault, there's a way to contact you through PacificaRadioArchives.org.
For From the Vault, you can go to FromTheVaultRadio.org, and you can email the producer, Christopher Sprinkle, mm-hmm. about ideas and any participation that you might have. We're working right now on a program on Dr. Margaret Mead, the famed anthropologist. We have 25 years trajectory of recordings, starting in 1958 of Dr. Mead. Very important stuff. Institute for Intercultural Studies, which is the Mead Centennial Institution, and Dr. Mead's daughter is working with us on that program to look at those 25 years of recordings and find out which ones are the most important to let be heard.
I think we're going to hear more during Brian's
right.
report, but basically what I'm trying to tell this board is that we thrive on interaction on this committee, and we're welcoming your suggestions and participation in some way, so please contact us throughout the meeting. Thank you.
The other thing.
One question.
Dave.
Sir, you're out of order.
Dave.
We're at the, who would like to speak? You were done? You're out of order, sir. Sir, I don't want to have to call security, but I will. Sir, security, could you please escort the gentleman out? Brian, are we done? Are you done with the report? We have about 8 minutes left.
All right. I will address that issue, because I guess I'll address that issue at the archives presentation this evening. I think that's a better place for it. The archives committee. Right. So as far as the archives committee is concerned, the other working group is the Building Campaign Task Force, which is trying to find a way to raise
funds.
Hold on a
second, Brian. I'd like to ask everybody in the room to please respect the speaker so we can all hear him. I know it's trying and we got a lot, but if you need to discuss something, if you could go outside, it would really help us get to our meeting and in particular to get to the public comment.
Thank you, Dave. So the building task force really is set up because the needs of the archives is to have its own building, to have its own space, to have the tapes in appropriate places. We have 3 off-site storage units which have thousands of tapes, particularly from WBAI, that have not been cataloged or described yet. We have an overwhelming task. The building facility must be taken seriously in terms of the archives, and so we have to work towards that. So this working group is dedicated to find ways to make sure we have a space that's ADA compliant. We have to, thank you, Jane. And we have to have space that will allow us to be able to process the tapes in the way that we need to do in the formal sense of archiving. When we talk about transferring digitization and restoration, preservation, you know, there is a way to do it casually. I'm for the tuxedo version. That's all I have to say for the moment. That means that the highest standard should be taken in consideration for each of those tapes. I'm not going to do it casually to where it's just digitized and then sent out to the world.
Brian, what is the archival medium that is that standard, the tuxedo standard? What medium?
Well, it's multi-layered. In digitization, we go through various. Now, this is the part that I actually don't know. That's the technical part. There's something called azimuth, which actually, when they listen to a recording in a room with no distraction, they can hear when the air conditioner was turned on during a speech, and they know how to lower that and how to sort of fix it to where we don't have distractive sound. Filtering. The medium that it goes on to are 2 CDs, 1 preservation, which goes into the refrigerator, is never touched. That's gold Tayo. There's a user copy, which is silver Tayo. These are recommendations that have been made through expert consultation through our grants. When I say the tuxedo version, formal preservation, we did not do that in-house. We sent that to the Safe Sound Archive in Philadelphia, who does have stealth technology, sound equipment in a room so that they can hear every detail of the sound recording. Not only is it that sound preservation and digitization that is the tuxedo version, as I just coined, I didn't know that was coming out of me, but there's also the cataloging. When we look at a recording, we go back to our database, we look to see how it was originally described, and we make corrections, not because I thought it was misspelled, but we go to fact-finding. We do the research on the recording to find out if the people that are noted on the back of the box, that are noted in the description, were actually at the event that it says it was. So once we have things formally tuxedo version transferred, all the records for research 400 years from now will be accurate.
Okay, thanks. I understand we are at time.